got like, what is it, four cups. It's four cups worth. I guess maybe we could have read how big it was. We thought it was just like, you know, a 12-ounce jar, 8-ounce jar.
Four cups, 32 ounces?
Yep, 32 ounces right here.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah, well, you got to stay hydrated. It's good for your bird.
Bird? The bird is the word.
Yeah. That's often how the Rat Pack apparently would greet each other. Right? How's your bird? Hey, how's your bird?
Oh, really? Just, so we're like the new Rat Pack?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe we're the, I don't know. Yeah, the rodent, what's a rodent that begins with the letter D? It'd be that kind of duo. instead of the Rat Pack, the, Durango, no.
Twice Mice.
The Douglas Stang Podcast.
Anyways, let's start our thing. You know, does it feel like we've made it to the end of another marathon? We're covering the last song from this release, from our second release. It took us just so long. Does it feel like we finally made it?
You know, yeah, it makes me kind of think back and remember some of the recording sessions. You know that we split across locations.
Anyways, this, put those memories back in your head. This is the Douglas Stank Podcast, and I am a host, Nathan, and who are you?
I am a co-host. This is Henry, and I also am a member of Douglas Stank.
We are the band Douglas Stank. And do you recall what song we're talking about today? The last song of our second release.
Just looking it up. Gosh, yeah, give me a minute. The last song, I had that list.
I can't wait to hear what you had in your notes about this one.
No, this is one we've already released, right?
Yes. I should have just said it. My mistake.
See, because we recorded some of the things we recorded here are stuff that won't be on until the next release or the one after. Oh, man. Oh, do you still need a bass line for this Father's Day jam? I could throw one in.
Yeah, well, we're not doing that right now. Right now, we're going to be talking about the song Side Piece.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
I do remember that one, but it's kind of like, you know, it's good, but...
But? There's no but. This is good.
Now, you know better than me the origins of this one, because...
Well, you were there.
Well, yeah, but do you... I remember, so it started, if I recall, maybe I'm wrong, but I think this started...
Just make up a story.
Back when we were thinking of, you know, all of the good, really solid hip-hop albums of the 90s, like Wu-Tang, some of their good works, A Tribe Called Quest, oh man, but yeah, and we were thinking, and we were thinking, you know, Douglas Stank can do a little bit of that too.
Well, I don't know if you were just inventing that, but let's just say, all right, so this one was one that we made some years ago, so there's some bootleg versions out there that are different from this one, but like the other one we talked about, Telemarketer's Calling, this one also was inspired as a ringtone, right?
That's so right,
one,
yeah.
The other one was the ringtone that, like, oh, when a telemarketer calls, you set that, and it's announcing, because you get so many, you know. This one is the ridiculous idea that you would set a ringtone to announce that your mistress is calling, that your girl on the side is calling your side piece, which is, to me, hilarious. The idea that, like, there would be a ringtone like that and that you would actually use it on your phone so that everyone would know that your girl on the side was calling. But the music part, there was a guy I was working with. I'd play our songs. You know, I'd go around and everybody, I bother them. I make them listen to our songs. And he's always like, you should get some horns. I'm like, I don't have any horns. You should get some horns in it. And so, like, I just put together something stupid with like synthesizer horns. I thought it didn't sound good at all, and I put that together because like I was just looking at, with it being a ringtone, it's like it just goes right into the main part right away, right? Because a ringtone, you know, how long is a ringtone? You want it to go right into whatever, you know, you don't want a long instrumental buildup. And then he's like, yeah, that sounds good. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It's actually, this version has slightly better synthesized horns.
Oh, now correct. Now, did you use soft synth horns for this?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, there you
Maybe
go.
Maybe one day we'll go back again.
Almost like the real thing.
Because at my house now, there's a trombone and two trumpets, so maybe I could change it up one day.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. You guys have two trumpets? You're not trying to form a ska band on the side, are you?
I'm going to cut that out and pretend that you never said that.
All right, so do you want to dissect the song?
Well, shouldn't we talk about its cultural impact?
Cultural impact? Well, again, like you say, this is to tell, alert the world about your side piece.
No, but anyways, this song, you don't have any more memories of that than that? Because, like, this one, you had a hand in helping to write this one more than some of the other songs. Because, you know, you helped with the... anyways, maybe we should break it down. Maybe we should break it down like we do with the other ones.
That's the thing. I think the memories will come back once we vivisect the song in real time.
All right. So let's roll the first.
That sounds like that should be like a Cannibal Corpse song. Vivisecting the song in real time.
I've never gone to a Cannibal Corpse concert.
Pulling out the song's entrails.
All right, so let's first, I talked about the horns. Let's play the horn track.
Nice, okay.
All right, well, I brought these guys in. I found them as street performers, you know, and I thought, you know, you guys would be great. I gave them a cup of peanuts, brought them in. And 9 hours later, we got that track.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. You paid him in peanuts?
Yeah.
No. Wow. It's great that you didn't have to use... You didn't have to dip into, like, you know, crack or heroin or...
No, that's all for me.
for your street performers.
Why would you think street performers would want to get paid in crack?
You never know. Well, you're right. It'd probably be more ideal to pay someone in, like, Hot Pockets, you know, because street performers are busking for food. Or Taco Bell.
Anyways, you like the tuba part, huh?
Oh, that is the best. You found a wonderful tubist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or tubiato. I don't know. What's the... Is it a tubist?
Tubist was like that was a movement in art from like 100 years ago. You know, there are a lot of tubists.
Well, that came before the cubists, the tubists. Then they were like, forget this.
Yeah, the oneists, the tubists, and the cubists.
Yeah, tubist. Person who plays the tuba. Whereas with the trumpet, you don't call them trumpists, do you? Or maybe you do, trumpists.
But I think it could be.
Didn't they storm the Capitol?
It was more of a drizzle.
All right, I'm sorry.
No, the other thing about the horns, though, is it also, to me, it fits more in with being a ringer. Like, it might just sound like a ringer, really, you know? You know how, like, you had the ringers that just come on your phone? And they might just sound like that anyways.
Yeah, oh, that's exactly it. But they don't have that tuba. The tuba is magical. That's what takes it over the top. The tuba almost makes it like New Orleans jazz kind of horns.
Yeah, that must be what I was going for.
I think so. Now, do you remember, like, so this was a Spitfire?
No. No, if you really must know, it was, I think they were ones that were the ones that came free with Cakewalk. They had a bunch. They got a bunch of good ones.
And you were purposefully going kind of for that ringtone sound.
Well, I want it to sound as good as possible with my budget of a bag of peanuts, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was really a favor that the horn players did so in return for us appearing on their album when that comes out.
Yeah.
Hornucopia. Be on the lookout for the album Hornucopia featuring Douglas Stank.
Oh, I can't wait for people to start asking us to be guest stars on their albums.
That'd I know. That, it's just,
here in the background of the videos.
Yeah. Do we just get to lounge and smoke cigars while they shout out about us?
No, they'll probably make us work as key grips and such.
That's how we'll be featured.
Yeah.
In Hornucopia.
All right, well.
And their hits track from Hornucopia, Are You Feeling Horny, Baby?
So, well, maybe you'll recall your part in making this song when we play the bass track. So let me get that queued up. Hint. All right, so here's your bass part. If you can excuse the small amount of bleed from the other tracks.
Was that just because you bounced that track from somewhere else? That we something else we did, or like a different file?
Oh, remember, like I said, this is something we recorded in the past. And so this is the original bass line from the other version imported into our session here on Cakewalk. And so, like originally we recorded it, it had that bleed from a guitar track. Maybe we recorded it at the same time.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, probably. Using older technology.
Yeah.
Was it from a four track? When it wasn't the four
no,
track?
No. We would remember we did it, but we would set up, you know, microphones, mic the amps when we were doing it through Audacity, the Audacity program.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can only do, we had to like try to pan and we would, but yeah. both instruments would be there. But they'd be kind of panned, so one track was louder than the other for each one.
Well, we're just in the same room, so it was going to pick up on the microphones.
Oh, yeah.
But you did a good job on the bass, and it would have been... like, if I tried to recreate it, it wouldn't have been the same, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just about... Like, I could have played the same notes, but it wouldn't have had the same, I don't know, sparkle, pizzazz.
There you go. I like that. Thank you.
Yeah. Although later, there's a secondary bass part that I did use like a synth bass for, you know, because you were talking about emulating. 90s rap, so I put in like the heavy sort of like car shaking bass part, you know.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you need that.
You used to just get the, well, some people would buy like really expensive speaker, put it in the back of their car and like just have bass playing, just shake the whole car, shake the whole neighborhood, or you could just use the stock speakers, just turn them up real loud and have it sound really terrible. That's what I would do.
You know, the craziest thing about that is you could really kind of shake the bolts out of your car.
Yep.
If you shook it long enough.
Plus, it was so dumb.
Yeah.
So, it's so dumb.
Yeah, as if like that's the only part of the song, you know? Hey, dumb. You know, I like hearing the bass. So well, that's a cool thing that came out of that era.
It took the you know, the horns are just very simple sort of pattern, and but the bass, you know, that bass turns it into something else.
It is kind of dodging in between the note, like, you know, I don't know what the good term is in there, but it's kind of drifting between the horns. The horns are almost more like the bass in some ways.
Oh, you mean because they're doing like a rhythm and not like a melody?
Yeah, exactly. They're very rhythmic, and then the bass is a little more melodic, although still rhythmic. What it is polyrhythms. You know, that's us doing the whole polyrhythms thing.
Okay.
That we're known for, I hear, from online reviews. Or that might have been my burner review.
All right, so I think the next piece, if I'm not mistaken, is the drums, such as they are. Let me play that. All right,
that's...
So, I mean, I had fun with the synth drum sort of thing, so it's got that, like, sort of spacey sort of... I don't know what the sound's supposed to be. Little... Beep, beep. Like, it's lasers.
Oh, it's very 90s, like you were saying.
Yeah. Just simple. Sort of thing, just the background.
It sounds like Dr. Rhythm.
Well, it's not, but... The original version would have been Dr. Rhythm, but this is, I redid it with the synth drums, because that's way easier.
Very good, yes. It anchors everything and serves its role, and it gives it that 90s kind of feel. It's got, like, that hi-hat, like, where if you really wanted to play it that way, you'd have to, like, it's got two hi-hats going. Or someone's muting the crash. You know, they're hitting the crash and then muting it, along with that hi-hat.
Yeah.
is that the kind of crash that was picked, do you remember?
It's like a closed hi-hat. The hi-hat's the one that's closed, right?
Yeah, closed exactly. Hi-hat. The hi-hat was closed.
It's a classic sort of thing.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And then the muting.
All right, well, the next element I went with was to go with sort of the, hip-hop sort of vibe. I figured I'd throw in some, 70s soul wah guitar.
Yes, yes.
So let's hear that.
Oh, it makes me just want to get back in there and do another wah line.
Yeah, you want to do more? So that's
yeah, what remix? Can we remix this
That is the original version had a wah guitar. This is a replacement for that because I got a better setup.
Yeah, that sounded really nice. I mean, what's that? Was that what kind of? Was that a crybaby Dunlop, or was that a auto kind of? Or was it synth?
That was an auto wah. That's me playing guitar, but that's through one of the emulator things.
Ah, okay. Wow, the emulator. That's just amazing what can be done now. You must have a crap ton of RAM to make all this happen.
You think so? What makes you say that? Just to get the program
all that
working?
Real-time processing, you know, you did to get it to sound. I don't know, maybe it's just a miracle of modern efficiency in coding.
Well, I'll tell you what, my computer on some of these projects will get overwhelmed, and what you do is in Cakewalk, on each of the tracks, there's a little icon that's an asterisk looking thing, and that will temporarily, because you can undo it, it'll mix down using all the plugins. You can do this to MIDI tracks too, or soft synth tracks, so that instead of doing the processing with all the plugins and the synths and whatever as it's playing, it'll just make it a WAV file, so it's using less of the processor, less of the RAM while you do it. So if you do, because you on the top while you play, you can get a there's a little display that'll show the how your computer's performing and like the processing load and all that sort of stuff. It'll show little bars, and if you get to a thing where you're getting close to crashing or dropping out because it's overwhelming the processing or the RAM, you can do this to the tracks. You can click on a little thing and then it'll lessen the load. I had to do that on a number of these things. Not like using that particular guitar emulator, I don't think that's particularly taxing on the computer, but like a lot of the stuff involving soft synths, like that does. Like if you put a bunch of soft synths on something, and it'll cause funny things to happen, and then you just, I forget what it's called, but like you click on it and then it's kind of like it writes it down, it plays it as a wave. You can, if you need to change it, you can undo that, you know, make alterations, but.
Okay. Nice. Oh, that makes sense. Now, this track, what I like about it too, is it's very 90s and it's very 70s at the same time. Well, 60s, 70s, you know, funk. 70s funk, I guess.
It's a blend of the 70s and 90s. It's the 80s.
Yeah. Wait a minute. It skips the 80s and goes to the aughts.
Yeah.
It's like you're giving us a whole tour of funk and early hip hop at the same time.
Well, I redid it too, because like really in working with this one, it was a lot easier to hear what, you know how that sort of like funk wah, like on like the Shaft theme.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what you're going for. And, playing through this emulator was a lot easier to hear what it's supposed to sound like. You know, you go to the auto wah and it cycles through, so that when you're just doing like palm muted things, it's like doing that sort of like wah effect through the auto wah.
I see. Yeah, so you just kind of muted.
Whereas the previous one I had, it was a different auto wah, and you could get that, but it was a little bit harder to hear. And like get the sort of response you expected playing through.
I wonder if the other one was maybe even pedal, like a pedal.
Yeah, the other one was a pedal, like maybe the like multi effects pedal thing I had, you got me or whatever.
Yeah.
A fine product.
It's everything we'll need to recreate all these songs live for our live album.
Plus the 7-piece band. I know some horn guys.
There you go, perfect. Well, of course, they're going to want that wah and hornucopia. A little bit of wah guitar.
Yeah, yeah. This is the missing piece to hornucopia.
Yeah.
I heard that you could get ciabatta sauce now, too.
That's right, Henry. The delicious dressing that Pizza Bob's has been serving all these years while keeping the recipe a top secret is now available in bottles for home use. Ciabatta sauce, the delicious dressing that made the ciabatta famous and kept people coming back to Pizza Bob's for decades, can now be yours at home. Put it on salads, use it as a dip, dress up those homemade burgers, or put it on whatever you like.
You know, now you can have ciabatta sauce shipped anywhere in your home in the continental United States.
Can't make it to Ann Arbor? You can have delicious ciabatta sauce shipped to your home anywhere in the United States. Save yourself the trip to Ann Arbor and call today, 734-665-4517. 734-665-4517. What's that number again? 734-665-4517.
Well, and you're connecting all the dots. This is kind of like connecting the dots of in the music landscape, like when Ice Cube sampled the Isley Brothers. You're kind of bringing 70s funk and 90s to Douglas Stank in that same way. It's like you're educating the youth of today, no less than education.
All right, well, if people really want to get educated, let's hear the vocals, huh?
Side piece, not my side piece. Side piece, nah, my side piece.
Nice.
Side piece, nah, my side piece.
Let's just
side
say I'm
piece,
not,
nah,
you know,
side piece.
You gotta take this call. I'm not really trying to do a great
real trouble
rap song here. Can't like I said, this is it. The ringer.
Don't grumble.
And I'm
be
really...
Back later.
What's that
look for? It's funny because it's like...
You'll see me again.
I know people who have irritating ringers. I don't know who they're playing this joke on.
Not my side piece.
Because, like, their phone goes off. You hang out with them for, like, an hour. The phone goes off five times because they answer it. Even though it's, like, calls that are, like, telemarketers or whatever. And they just answer it anyways. And so they keep getting calls.
If I had a
side piece, like, they have the most irritating ringers.
Making me to jump
off. That are, like...
She'd be wrapped around my finger.
You know, like a person that. Loudly talking or something.
Oh, you know or like the crazy laugh. Like
no, no.
They crazier got, and louder.
You got one there where it's like, this is the voicemail lady. You pick up the phone. I'm tired of taking all your calls. Like, it's really loud. And it's so dumb. Like,
not my side piece.
Like, who is this a joke? I am afraid to ask, but I kind of assume someone else got his phone and set that as his ringer because they thought it'd be funny.
Yeah, and then he can't change it back. Not my side piece. That could be. Now but, this so ringer has a better chance.
This one would be like side piece, and then you like, oh shit, it's my side piece, and then the song continues, not my side piece. Same with, oh, see, it's all a joke. Side piece. Nah, my that's side
the,
piece.
That's the best part of it is like the ambiguity of it all.
No.
Is it or is it not? You know, it's the situation where it could be saying it's not piece. Just so you think it's not when it is.
The funny part would be if you if you're like, oh man, my side piece, I got to use my burner phone for my side piece. So that, like, my main squeeze can't pick up my phone and look through my text messages or whatever, and then you still put this ringer on it.
Yeah, on the main phone?
No, you still put this ringer on your burner phone, and it's still in your pocket, and it's still, like, going off. Like, what's that? Like, I don't know. It must be somebody else. What a weirdo.
That's good. Yeah, it really does create kind of it has a good, you know, you say the rap isn't great, but it does actually fit with, like,
I didn't say it's not great. I'm just saying it's not like I'm trying to bust rhymes, you know. It's not like I'm like, DMX, watch out.
Although at this point, like, this is more like the lazy rap kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, who would be an example of that? Like, I can't even think. The guy who does, that, like, Cold Like Minnesota song. Did you ever hear that?
No.
Oh, it's horrible.
Hasn't made it past Iowa.
Yeah, that's the thing, because it's in Minnesota. But, I mean, the lyrics are dumb, but it's that kind of style, and it's, you know, an easygoing style. The lyrics on the other song are dumb, not the Douglas Stank lyrics. I mean, the other lyrics, it sounds like he's saying he's got taters on his arms and goose under his mattress.
That's the life.
Yeah. You got to go up to people and be, hey, I got taters on my arms.
So when it comes to this release, right, this one's called Social Distance. Is that right?
You could have called it Side Piece, P-E-A-C-E.
You know, it's funny you say that because, like, I more think of it as a side piece, like a gun is a piece. And, like, a sidearm is a gun. Side piece isn't really, you don't usually put them together like that. But so I would think of it as the opposite. Like, it's also referring to a gun.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it could be referring to a gun. You're right, usually it's either the side or the piece. Now, did this pass the test of the person who wanted horns?
Oh, yeah, they were very impressed.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
We need more tuba, I think. Maybe that'll be in that next album after next one.
It needs
two
a remix.
Albums down, we may have room for more tuba.
Oh, in a different song?
Yeah.
So
maybe the tuba will be featured.
So this is the last track from Social Distance. What do you think, which of the tracks do you think has the most lasting power?
Oh, gosh, of the whole... album
or EP, whatever you want to call it. Five songs.
Well,
biggest cultural impact.
Telemarketer's Calling has the potential to be, you know,
wow,
to really be something that's going to maintain, because, you know, in the future telemarketers will call
It's right? Timeless, really.
It is timeless. Something timeless about that one.
I'm always forcing people to listen to these songs, and the one that that gets people is listen to my hot takes.
Oh yeah, well, hot takes. Will all of those hot takes though, are they a timeless? Well, a lot of them are.
They come up and they say, "I didn't realize that's what you're saying." That like just the other day, it was somebody coming up and saying, "Wait, did you just say you don't like the hokey pokey? You don't want to put your hips in?" I said, "Yeah, I had to rhyme it with Mel Gibson."
There you go. See, because it's, I think that one is lyrically the most, there's the most reward to listening to that one lyrically.
Yeah, that's the one you listen to over and over again. Like
that one is so layered. I mean, every time you listen, you'll find something new. That's one of the good things about it. I mean, it's hard to, wait, I'm going back now to hot takes.
You're just going to sit here and play it.
Yeah, I was just about to play it, but I guess we don't want to do that in this podcast. We already did that. My gosh, how long were we working on this season? Has it been since last year?
It's been a while since we released the last season. Let's just say that. I don't know if we want to peel back the curtain, but like when people listen, you know, sometimes you listen to a podcast and it's obvious that like they recorded multiple episodes in a row and just, you know, spaced out the release. So I don't know if people have that idea of us, but so I don't want to destroy the image that people think we might be competent or something, and we're just sitting on this. But no, it's like I figure we get this release, and we, you know, kick this off, and you know, start this, the release of this season, so that we can announce, you know, that we're going to have a longer sort of album coming out. Be an exciting time.
Now, wait a minute. And Social Distance is on this album too, right?
Yeah. First track.
Yeah. That's that one, I think, may have the most, you know, it'll really encapsulate the times. And it was ahead of its time.
The Social Distance song, I go back and forth on because, like, in no way was I trying to be preachy or anything, but it's a part of me that doesn't want to do like overly earnest songs. But like, I wasn't trying to be, like I said, I'm not trying to be preachy. And, you know, I thought I was putting out a unique message, a nuance or whatever. But then I also really like the way, like the guitar works on it and stuff. So.
Yeah, you know, it all kind of fits together in that way. There's some dissonance.
All right, so I can give you some numbers from our release. The release of Social Distance, as of this time right now, 7,683 streams total.
Wait, really? Nice. What other numbers? Do you have more of a breakdown?
Let's see. I can pull up random numbers. Let me see what I can find out here. I
wonder how long it'll take to go gold.
I think first, we have to sell one of them before it can go gold.
Now, what's considered a lot of streams? Like a million streams? I would say 10,000 streams is a lot.
It's been streamed 52 times in Germany.
Wow.
Do you have any guess of what their favorite track is?
Poop Stain Balls.
That's not on this one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Is it the songs for the robots?
No, it's Social Distance. 50 streams in Germany.
Now, where is Side Piece the biggest as far as streaming?
Oh, let me see. Let me see what information I can pull up. Side Piece, 1,530 streams. And if most of those are in the United States, but also streams in Nigeria and in India.
Oh my gosh, wow. Truly a global phenomenon.
Jane Seymour has Creepy Creepy Cleavage.
How many streams?
Like 1,500 something. And besides the United States, it's also streamed in the United Kingdom, Spain, Australia, and a stream in Iceland.
In Iceland, too. Wow. I wonder how many of those streams are Jane Seymour or her lawyers.
Do you think they live in Iceland?
Maybe they are from Iceland.
Do you think?
Isn't she from, where is she from? New Zealand? Or no, Australia?
I always assume she's from England. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, probably England.
I don't
That's
really
probably
know.
All those English streams.
Yeah, maybe I could have researched that. Do you think listen to my hot takes is culturally bound, or what do you think? Do you think that one has worldwide appeal?
Well, Australia, certainly. Any place where they know Kevin Costner and Mel Gibson?
Listen to my hot takes. No, they've been boycotting in Australia.
Oh, man.
In fact, it has streamed in five other countries. Germany, Indonesia, India, Italy, and 10 streams in communist China, which earned us 0 cents.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
Now, do you think, I think that if the Chinese government could, they'd ban our music.
They probably would after I just called them communist China.
That's true. They've got no room for, well, thankfully there's some dissidents there listening.
To round it out, telemarketers calling, worldwide appeal, other countries, Australia, so they did get this one. The Russian Federation, although we should boycott them, Austria, India, Nigeria, and Uganda.
We're truly global, although I do notice we're not really hitting South America or it's Central America.
We should put marketing push there. Think we need to put in, like, change some style, like put out a salsa number?
Yes, yeah. A salsa remix?
Or Bossa Nova, or...
There you go, yeah.
What did, when they in that movie Rio, did they say they're doing salsa or were they saying something else? It's actually been a while since I've seen that one.
Wasn't it a salsa or was it a well, I don't know, it's Brazil. So did they tango there or did they salsa? You know what song would have good appeal? Side piece. That's easy to do en español.
Oh, you think we should re-record it? I don't know any Spanish at all.
It's pieza lateral. Pieza lateral. No, es mi pieza lateral.
Okay, that'll be your department.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to do the Spanish.
You're going
to
do the vocals on a Spanish language version.
It's almost like on the TV. You can pick, like, which vocal track. All right, give me the Spanish vocal track. Yes. I'll try to do hot takes. How would you do hot takes in Spanish? It'd be caliente.
Sure, caliente. That's it.
Right? Hot takes in Spanish. That'll really help our global appeal. Tomas calientes. And I have to make sure to do it like a Spanish soccer commentator.
All right, so that was the last track of this release. So before we play it, do you have any other things? Because maybe we won't make the audience wait so long for the next episode of the podcast. Because we did, if you recall, we did release the next release after that was a single of a Christmas song, Unmasked This Christmas. So we could do a one-off about that one at some point.
Yeah, we should do that would you know, drop well in July.
Yeah, Christmas in July, right? Maybe we'll see it then. But be sure to listen to us at every streaming service, or even better yet, buy our songs, or just send us money.
Yes, and we also want to say adios to los amigos and amigas en el mundo se habla español.
Yes,
good calientes. And we have to, I don't know how to say stream in Spanish. We got to encourage.
But be sure to check us out at Stank Douglas on Twitter.
Arroyo. Arroyo la música de Hernando de Douglas Apestaba. There it is. Douglas Stank. Douglas Apestaba.
I think we stay with the name the same. I think you don't change the name.
Oh, you don't translate the name? Yeah, no. Okay.
Anyways, here's the finished track, a side piece.
Side piece, not my side piece. Side piece, nah, my side piece. Side piece, nah, my side piece. Side piece, nah, my side piece.
Gotta take this call. Real trouble. Can't explain it. Don't grumble. Be back later. What's that look for? You'll see me again.
Side piece. Not my side piece. Side piece. Nah, my side piece. Side piece. Side piece. Nah, my side piece. Side piece. Nah, my side piece. Side piece. Not my side piece.
If I had a side piece, she'd get her own ringer.
Side piece.
Making me to jump. Nah, she'd be wrapped around my finger. What? I didn't mean that. I forgot my unlock code. Oh, you know it?
Don't want it.
Well, I've been hacked.
Don't need it. Don't want it. Don't need it. Side piece. Not my side piece.
Side piece.
Nah, my side piece. Side piece. Nah, my side piece. Side piece. Nah, my side piece. Side piece. Not my side piece. Side piece. Nah, my side piece. Side piece. Nah, my side piece. Side piece. Nah, my side piece. Cool. Side piece? Nah, my side piece.
Don't want it.
Side piece? Nah, my side piece.
Don't need it.
Side piece? Nah, my side piece.
Can't take your call. In real trouble.
Don't need it.
Do I need to explain it? Don't grumble.
Don't want it.
Be back later. What'd you say that for?
Don't need it.
You might see me again.
Side piece. Not my side piece.
Side piece.
Side piece. Nah, my side piece.
Side piece.
Nah, my side piece.
Side piece.
Nah, my side piece.
Side piece. Hey, Henry. Do you remember back when our favorite rock band put out a dance album?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Hey, who could forget? Yeah.
That was the time of my life. It was the swinging 2020s.
Yeah, exactly. The swinging 2020s.
Everything was right in the world.
They were playing hits at the club.
I'll tell you what brings me back. It's songs like The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night.
The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night. The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night. The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night. The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night.
You remember, you can't lock down the beat.
I can't lock down the beat.
Who could forget that jam?
I remember.
But I'll tell you what gets my heart pumping is Sprinkle Some Diamonds. Such a classic.
I remember meeting my wife to that song.
Sometimes though, you're in the mood for something a little more laid back, a little more classy, and that's when I always put on Douglas Stank's immortal version of Chopin's Prelude E Minor. But you can still dance to it.
That's right.
Who can forget their immortal hit, My Baby Has Poop-Stained Balls?
Oh, yeah. And I remember shaking it like an Etch-A-Sketch.
Oh, that dance sensation was everywhere. People dancing like they're turning the knobs, dancing like they're erasing their Etch-A-Sketches. Takes me back.
I was turning so many knobs back then. I was served with a cease and desist.
You know, I also like the classic sort of like album tracks that maybe they didn't get the radio airplay, but man, did I like the jam all night to Love Is an Open Sore.
Love is an open sore.
Oh, yeah. Nothing. That's one earworm that festers like nothing else.
Yes, it festers.
It festers into your heart. Through your heart.
And of course, the collection wouldn't be complete without the Eurodance hit Love and Dancing.
Love.
That's true.
And dancing.
Nothing else going on in the early 2020s. And but dancing. To jam in the clubs.
Love. And dancing.
Where can I find this collection of music, though?
If they were smart, they'd only release it in limited quantities as an NFT.
But they're not smart. It's available everywhere.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, no.
Coming soon on streaming service and downloaded, available everywhere. Douglas Stank,
we would like you to
dance.